Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Wednesday, September the 9th, 2026. 15 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Hope you're having a great morning wherever you are. A little warmer this morning than it was yesterday, and I think we've got some warm weather here in the Marion area the next couple days. Hopefully things will be nice for the Marion Popcorn Festival Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this week. So we'll see what happens. Phone lines are open. We did have a call as we were going to break there. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If there's anything you'd like to say, feel free to call in. We're always glad to hear anybody out there in the listening audience's opinion on things that we discuss on this program. Well, last night was an interesting night during city council committee meetings, to say the least. Long night, probably went... How long did it go last night? Well, it certainly went over 3 hours, I would say that. Lot of information last night, a lot of discussion last night. I'll tell you one thing that came out of last night's committee meetings that I found very interesting. Mayor Bill Collins at one point said that he thought it might be a good idea to stop the live streams of the city council meetings and maybe post them online 24 to 48 hours later, which we've talked about this on the program before, that these live streams are becoming somewhat of a show, in that I think people like to be seen, and I think some people are watching them for entertainment value. And what would it hurt to air them 24 to 48 hours later? If you're really out for information, why wouldn't you watch them 24 to 48 hours later? And it might also dampen people from coming people coming to the meetings, which I think has also been somewhat of a problem. In that, are people coming to the meetings when they can sit and watch them at home? I thought that was interesting from Mayor Collins last night, and we'll see where it goes. 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944. He said he did not want to make that decision unilaterally. He wanted to get council's thoughts on it, and maybe next week we'll get some deeper thoughts on that particular subject. Also last night, the city council did interviews for the vacant 6th Ward city council seat. That was interesting. We had Thomas Hardy, former 6th Ward city councilman Ron Prater, Teresa Lubke, and Bryson Hummel, who were interested in that seat last night and did an interview. There weren't a whole lot to these interviews. A few questions by council members. Aaron Rollin asked a few questions. Ralph Smith, Dan Clark, I believe Thad Smith slipped a question in there. It's going to be interesting because you've got Teresa Lubke, who is a Democrat, and there's a lot of discussion going on about, can this seat be filled by a Democrat, because the seat was won in the election by a Republican. So that's what it is at this particular point, and we'll see how it goes. Phone lines are open, 740-383 9944. But there was a big discussion about this last night, which certainly led to, I don't know. You know, they interviewed Teresa Lubke, so I'm guessing that she is an option. But will the people on council vote for her? The majority of them being Republican, I don't know. The one who seemingly continually had a problem with her being a Democrat was Ralph Smith. So, he seemed to have the problem. Nobody else seemingly had the problem. But, I don't know. We'll see where it goes. Any thoughts? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Yeah, and I think this kind of comes back to the whole live stream question. Because apparently, City Council did go into executive session last night before they interviewed the 6th Ward candidates. And apparently the live stream did not get turned back on. And this made people angry. But nothing was hidden. I think the live stream just did not get started properly. So, I don't know. There was this skepticism that something was trying to be hidden. But if you were in the room, you were asked to come back in. You got to see and hear everything that was going on. There certainly wasn't anything going on there that was nefarious in any way. So I'm not sure. I think it's all fascinating right now. Does anybody have any thoughts? 740-383-9944. 21 minutes past the hour. Does anybody have any thoughts on if the meeting should be live streamed? You know, that's a discussion. I think the idea was people who can't get there can watch them, maybe the elderly, or people who can't drive, so on and so forth. And that is a good idea, but I'm not sure that's what it's become. And I think this is the bigger problem. And making them available 24 to 48 hours after the meeting would still benefit the people who can't get there, would still benefit the people who maybe are elderly or maybe have some kind of disability that they cannot make it to the meeting. So, you know, I don't know that that's a horrible idea. I guess I would have to understand the benefit to the live stream, because we can certainly see that there are some things that are not beneficial to that. But I was interested to hear that come from Mayor Collins last night. And here we are. Okay, what else happened last night that was of interest? Well, you know, I thought we were going to have some legislation last night in regard to safeguards on the Flock system. And it was not on the agenda when I came in last night. And I thought, well, that's strange that there's nothing on the agenda in regard to this. But then during the Legislation Codes Committee meeting, Sean Barr, First Ward City Councilman, did get up with some idea of legislation that would put some safeguards on the Flock program. And apparently he had gone over this with the mayor and I believe the police chief, but it was not put on the agenda. Now, this seemed to upset City Councilman at Large Aaron Rollins, because he did not feel that's how the legislative process should work, that you should not just get up in a meeting and ask for legislation to be added to the agenda, that you should actually submit legislation. So that was an interesting moment last night. There were just several of those moments that I think people thought, well, that's interesting, and where do we go from here? All right. Does anybody have any thoughts on last night's City Council meeting or anything that may or may not have been going on. 740-783-9944. It's been a short night. I tell you, it's been a rough few days. First of all, getting out of the sleep cycle over the weekend. Then coming back in here yesterday morning after a night of tossing and turning. Then going to city council last night, where we did not get out of there until almost 10 o'clock. So it's been a couple days, I'll tell you that. It's been a couple days, and I guess it will continue to go, as they say. And apparently, I don't know, we had a phone call there before we went to break, so if that was you, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or if you have anything to say about the incident with Amy Acton on Sunday, I think that's interesting. In hour number one, we had John Bocieri, the gentleman who's running for the seat in Ohio's 58th district, who was there on Sunday when the event happened in Canfield at the fair. I don't know. You know, I just don't know anymore. I think campaigns are rough, and the things people say in campaigns are rough, and I'm not really sure what you do about any of this. I'm not sure if it gets any better or not. I'll tell you something that's not getting any better, and that's the construction going on in downtown Marion. Holy mackerel. It was almost impossible to get to the meeting last night. The construction that is going on Center Street and Church Street pretty much blocks off the entire streets. Now, this is very, very, very difficult. Well, I guess it's popcorn festival stuff, really. I guess I shouldn't call it construction. But boy, I don't remember it like that in the past. Maybe I just don't remember it very well. But a lot of streets blocked off and very hard to navigate in downtown Marion. Now, I don't remember if I said this yesterday, but the Culver's, I passed by the Culver's last night restaurant that's, I would imagine, soon to open in front of Meyer. I also passed by it on Sunday night. And at night, you can see how much work has been done to that spot. There are lights out there. You can see in the building. It doesn't look like that building is far from being completed. And I know that that will make a lot of people happy, for sure, because a lot of people are really excited about this business opening up. I don't know. I think in Marion we love when new businesses open up. This one in particular, because I believe people have eaten at this restaurant, which has obviously other locations, and they really liked what was available to them. So maybe it'll be a big success. It looks nice at night. It's got a lot of lights on it. The parking lot seems to be almost finished. The inside is looking pretty good. So everything at this point seems to be in a positive manner in regard to the opening of Culver's out on Route 95. It's a nice looking place, but will it fall victim to the curse here in Marion? When a new business opens, everybody goes to that business. And because of that, a lot of people have a bad experience because the business is so busy, then they never go back. Then after the newness wears off the business, it doesn't go so well. You know, we have seen this happen with White Castle. We saw this happen to Ponderosa, which was out on Route 95, where Ryan's was. We saw this happen to, it was the sub place. I can't think of the sub place that ended up in the White Castle building. I believe there was a chicken place there for a while that happened to. I believe this also happened to Del Taco. So it's not unheard of that this has happened. But we hope that Culver's does not fall victim to that. Looks like the Kroger gas station on Route 95 is making some headway. A lot of construction going on there in the Kroger Walmart parking lot. That's going to be something. I think a lot of people will use that. I know a lot of people do not drive to the other side of town to get gas. Some do, but not a lot. So that might be a whole new money-saving venture for people on the east side of town. Looks like the Starbucks is coming along out here on Delaware Avenue quite nicely. That's doing well. These buildings are going up. Everybody knows with winter soon approaching, autumn on the 21st of this month, that we're not going to have warm weather that much longer. 30 minutes past the hour here. If anybody has anything to say, feel free to weigh in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody have anything to say in regard to last night's city council committee meetings? Anything to say in regard to anything going on here in Marion? We'd be glad to hear from you. And again, I do want to congratulate Norma Castanion for being the Grand Marshal of this year's Popcorn Parade. Spent many years involved in the Popcorn Festival. I'm not sure if Norma's still involved in the Popcorn Festival, but she certainly spent many days involved with that organization. And that's very nice that she would get this honor. 93 years old is what the article said, more or less. All right, let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Of course.
So, regurge what happened at the wonderful, awesome city council committee meetings.
Well, pretty much what I've said this morning is what happened.
Well, regurge. I haven't had the opportunity to tune in earlier.
Well, it was long last night, and basically there was some legislation put forth in regard to flock cameras, but it was not on the agenda, so this did not make Aaron Rollins very happy, and it was not passed. It was just kept in committee. It didn't go anywhere.
What was it? What was the subject that wasn't on the agenda?
Well, it wasn't on the agenda.
What was not on the agenda?
The flock legislation.
Oh, okay. Weren't they supposed to talk about some accountability or auditing of it?
Well, they did, but it just was not on the agenda. While they were in that particular committee meeting, Sean Barr stood up with the legislation, but I don't think anybody had seen the legislation because it was not on the agenda.
So it was kind of like a one-legged butt-kicking contest.
Well, I mean, they weren't really arguing with each other. It was just kind of, you know, how does that happen? Why would this not have been on the agenda? I don't know.
It sounds like it could be sound effects to a Looney Tune, you know?
Well, just a lot of conversation last night. I mean, there was conversation on the data center moratorium. It did not seem like City Council was for a two-year moratorium on data centers. They thought that
would... You know, people, what is the biggest fear people are saying about data centers?
I don't know. What is the biggest fear?
That's what I'm asking you. You're the one that's got your ear and nose to the
I think people are reading a lot of stuff on the internet. You know, what we learned last night is some people have taken tours of data centers who work with the city, and they did not seem to feel that they were a bad thing. But some people, on the other hand, got up last night and talked about, do we have enough water in the city? Do we have enough energy in the city? Do we have the infrastructure to support one of these places?
Essentially, a lot of people have Chicken Little syndrome. The sky is falling. Oh, it's falling.
Well, I don't...
So, one thing that is extremely overlooked, data centers already exist. How do you think the internet actually works? They have data center nodes here, there, everywhere. They have mirrors from a, you know, that's why you can have Amazon being as ubiquitous as it is. But the most important thing people fail to realize, and the argument hasn't been made, China and Russia are building data centers. This is the new Cold War. We need to keep as much data and information as we possibly can so we don't have people like Osama bin Laden's miscreants ramming jets into buildings in the Pentagon. You know?
Well, I think that was the feeling last night of Ralph Smith and Dan Clark, in that they don't want to put a moratorium on this.
Well, hopefully. I mean, if they would give a reason like that, and people have to understand, it's part and parcel of a national security. And like it or not, you know, it's going to happen somewhere, somehow. Now, they all complain about power. Well, gee whiz, just think. If we started building nuclear power plants, we don't have to build the big behemoths that we're accustomed to seeing about 30, 40, 50 years ago. Ohio State University has a nuclear power plant. Marion could have one. And I'd venture to say that a nuclear power plant could take care of electricity all of Marion County, and maybe a couple other counties. And I don't think it would be much bigger than, oh, just pulling a number out of thin air, 100 yards by 100 yards by 50 feet tall. I don't even think it would be that big, because if you look at an aircraft carrier or a submarine, there ain't nothing that big in there, and look what it's powering.
Well, I think
people are so afraid of things they don't understand, and if they would take the time to educate themselves and collect as much information as they can, it'll kind of ease the anxiety of not knowing.
Well, I think that was what was in direct opposition last night. There was a lot of information compiled by the people who wanted to put the moratorium on data centers to make sure that we in Marion have the infrastructure to support one of these places should they want to come. And the other side was basically saying, we have visited data centers and it's not what you think. And at one point, I believe Dan Clark said that he would even like to take a trip to a data center in another community to see what it's like and educate himself. So, you know, there are those things.
Well, also, you know, it's about time that the city or the county or a combination of both did something about economic development. We haven't heard a peep from Can't Do in what, 16, 18 months? This is outrageous.
I'm not sure how operational they are at this point.
Well, that's the big question. But is Jobs and Economic Development Committee, have they said a word about it?
I don't know. I got me.
Well, you were at the meeting last night. Was Jobs and Economic Development there?
I've never seen that meeting happen at City Council.
What was Aaron Rollins, what committee was he on if it wasn't, he chairs economic development?
I don't know. He did finance last night.
So he's also on finance committee, but not the chair in finance.
I don't ever recall seeing jobs and economic development meet during a city council meeting.
Well, that's why they have committee meetings. Committees don't meet during regular sessions of council. They just have a report.
No, I'm talking about like last night. The committees met.
Yeah, committee meetings. So yeah. You haven't seen a Jobs and Economic Development Committee meeting in some time?
Yeah, it's been a while. I haven't seen one.
Jeez. And they wonder why Marion is the way it is. To a better tomorrow.
Wait, this is what I thought. Pam Larkin is the head of the committee.
What committee?
The Jobs and Economic Development.
No, she isn't.
Well, that's what I'm being told.
Aaron Rollins.
Okay.
Aaron told me he was chairman. I met with him. Oh, shit, it's been 2 months ago. He's chair. Matt Barr and Thaddeus Smith are the other members of Jobs and Economic Development.
Well, got me.
Well, just goes to show, this administration doesn't know what the hell they're doing. It's like living in a Marx Brothers movie and they throw in the Three Stooges just to add a little bit more levity to the whole thing.
We'll see where it goes.
To a better tomorrow. Hey, everybody, go downtown. The door is there. Suck up all the suds you can. Eat all the popcorn and all the crap food you can. Enjoy yourself this week.
All right, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Let's see here. Jobs and economic development. I don't know. I know there's a committee that meets on a different night than committee meetings. I think they meet over in the county building. Maybe that's something else. Maybe that's something else. I'm a little... now I'm being told Aaron is the chair. I don't know. You know, I really don't know. Because I don't know the last time that I saw a jobs and economic development meeting. Anyway, the phone lines are open here for 19 more minutes. If you have something to say in regard to the city council committee meetings last night, or anything else on your mind at this particular point, 740-383-9944. Isn't it all interesting when it all comes to fruition? Does anybody have any feeling on the live streams? Let's go to the phones here and see what we have going on. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Steph. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, if I could get crap to stop breaking on my truck, I'd be a whole lot better. But other than that, I'm doing all right. I was up late last night, and I just couldn't stay up any later. They never came back on after the executive session on city council.
Well, I think Matt just didn't get the, he thought he had it turned back on, but apparently not.
Okay, so they did come back after executive session.
Yep.
Did they interview candidates?
Yep.
How late were you guys there?
Not extremely late. They didn't ask a whole lot of questions of the candidates. And one of the candidates didn't show up.
Who didn't show up, Matt?
Let me see which one it was. Ed Danner.
Okay. So, So they broke out into executive session right before they interviewed candidates. Is that correct?
Yeah, hey, hold on. From one of our listeners out there, they thought we were talking about finance, of Aaron Rollins being the chairperson of that committee. So it is Pam Larkin.
I didn't want to argue about it. Pam Larkin is the chairperson of economic development.
Is that the group that meets in the county building?
They meet when there is business to be heard on committee night.
Okay.
Yes,
I have not seen that committee meet in a long time.
Once a month, the second Tuesday or something like that. Does that sound right? The Prospect Building or something.
Oh, so that is the one.
The Prospect. Well, that's the countywide economic development.
Oh, okay.
The second Tuesday. So that's what she's supposed to be attending on behalf of city council. So
because
if there's no legislation about jobs or economic development to be heard, they don't meet. So, no, we don't have any jobs or economic development going on. That's why we're not having meetings.
Well, I don't remember the last time there was a meeting.
Well, that's because there's no jobs or economic development going on. But I want to talk about the making us show our IDs to vote, or to making us sign up to Tom wants to shut down the live streams now so people don't have to give their addresses. Why for almost 3 years was it fine for us to give our addresses? And let's not forget how these cameras came to be. These cameras came to be because Mike Bodine knew somebody that sold cameras and AV equipment, and we spent $13,000 in the name of transparency to buy these cameras so that could be live streamed. That was the specific purpose of those cameras. Now all of a sudden that people are getting drug out and they're getting confrontational and ugly, we don't want to live stream them anymore.
Well, I think that's the point.
What about the... Well, he said it was to protect people's addresses. So
well,
that's like where it is.
Well, I think that's where it starts. But I mean, that was brought up by citizens. I mean,
well, yeah, that was a good excuse for Colin to jump on. But here's my thing. Next thing, they're saying, all right, well, when you come to the podium, you need to give us your address because how are we going to know you're a resident? All right. Then they're talking about, well, we're going to sit here and look you up on voter rolls while you're standing up here talking. Do you have to be a registered voter to talk to your government? Because I didn't find that in the Constitution. I went back over the First Amendment today where we're allowed to redress our government, and it didn't say you're a registered voter. I didn't see that part.
That's not the implication that I got. The implication was that they
could... You didn't hear him say that?
No.
You didn't hear him say, we'll get on our phones and check your voter registration?
Yes, but I think that was... this is how we're going to look up and make sure you live in that ward that you're saying you live in, because there was a conversation about, I could just make up anything. I could make up any address. I could make up any ward.
Okay,
I could say
so
anything.
I want to go to this point. When you go look up the mayor, look up his voter registration, it just says address on file. So what then? What if somebody goes up there and it just says address on file? But why do we need to verify our voter registration? Why do we need to, why can't, I don't get that. That's very much a papers please kind of thing to me. And Ralph Smith was all about it. He's like, well, one of us can just get on our phone and check and see if you're a registered voter. Well, to my point here, there was a kid that goes to Sean Barr's school, and he seems to be pretty active in local government, which I think is a beautiful thing. I know how old he is because he and my son are part of the same group, and he's not 18. He wouldn't be a registered voter. But he was able to go up there and talk and get himself a little school sign put in front of the store. Now, are we not allowed to have minors go up there and speak anymore? If you're not a registered voter, do you have to pay taxes? Because what are we getting into here? Is it residency, or is it that you went and voted for King Welcome last election?
Well, I don't think anybody was denied speaking.
No, but that was Ralph Smith's idea. Well, we'll just verify you on the Board of Elections while you're standing here.
I think it's because they're kept being a press that why do we have to do anything? Why do we have to write down anything? Why does it matter? And I think that
was
the
problem. Well, it's not a rule. They want to make all these rules. The rule does not say that we have to give our address. There's not a council rule. Teresa Lebke established that. And then Ralph Smith starts going into precedent. Well, he's going to talk about rules and precedent and everything else because he's 100% by the book, and I'm pretty sure that's what they went into an executive session over, because he's still out there demanding that it be a Republican that fills the spot for Sixth Ward. Mark Russell stood up and said under the Ohio Constitution that rule now would be unconstitutional.
Right, but they did interview Ms. Lebke.
Okay, but Ralph Smith, to the bitter end, the law director is telling him this would be unconstitutional. Ralph Smith's still sitting up there fighting it.
Yes.
To the point that they had to go into an executive session.
Well, but I think they had to go into executive session, and I hope I have this right, because somebody had threatened legal action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Threatened pending or imminent lawsuits.
Right.
And I'm going to guess that would be because Ralph Smith is sitting up there trying to do something that the law director just told him was unconstitutional.
Well, that's probably right. But I'm sure that litigation was threatened before the meeting. I mean, that was going to happen no matter what.
Well, yes, and I'm sure that litigation has now been averted since everyone was able to be interviewed.
Right, but back, I guess, to the live stream here. When the mayor got up and said this, I think, I don't remember the conversation word for word, but he said it started, let me address this, it started with the idea of addresses, which he understood, but...
Right, because his isn't on file. He doesn't want anybody to know his.
Well, I don't know about that. All I know is...
When you go to the Board of Elections website, I look up everybody. When they start raising hell, if they're not a registered voter, I'm going to bust them out about it. the first thing I do is check your voting register, your voter registration, see the last time you voted was.
Right, but here's what I don't. Here's what I.
Address on file.
But here's what I don't understand. He, Mayor Collins, said we will make these meetings available 24 to 48 hours after they're over. What's wrong with that?
This was his idea in the sake of transparency. So now, in the sake of.
But what makes that less transparent?
But Scott, this is also the same guy that wants our addresses when we send him an email to prove that we live in the city. Okay, but 160 people from the FOP, most of which we're all assuming don't even live inside the city, one signature from somebody outside the county, that's fine. They just make up the rules as they go, and they're not consistent.
But people have been doing that for years. I mean, who knows what people wrote down on those papers, or who knows what people said when they got up there. I don't know what they said. It's been going on for decades.
I could get up there and say that I lived at 233 West Center Street, and if you didn't know that was City Hall, how are you to prove that I don't? I mean, what if somebody didn't change their voting registration? What if they just moved to town and haven't registered to vote yet?
Right, but I guess I don't think they're trying to deny anybody anything because they're not.
They were trying to verify. Scott, when they're saying we're going to stand up here and look up on the internet with the Board of Elections to see if you're registered to vote and that's your actual address, they're not trying to limit people talking.
No, because I think this is emblematic of a bigger conversation. This conversation came up because the mayor stood up and said, I'm thinking about doing away with the live stream, but I don't want to do it unilaterally. I want to get council's opinion. I've already sent everybody...
Isn't it council's meeting and they can demand that it be live streamed because it's their meeting, whether he wants to do it or not?
I don't believe so.
It's their meeting.
Well, it is their meeting, but I don't know that...
Well, if Pollock is over there controlling it, why can't Pollock just be authorized to go flip the switch? Why does it have to be Collins? Why does it have to be
Well, I don't know that it does have to be Collins, but he put it in, and I believe this falls under...
Without council permission, remember when he did that?
Well, right, but I believe this falls under the same thing as the screener. Council never voted on the screener because it fell on... I believe there was something about it fell... The building falls under the mayor, so I believe the cameras would fall under the mayor.
But the meeting itself would belong to council. What goes on inside the meeting, what happens in the meeting, quote-unquote, belongs to council. So the footage of it would belong to council.
Well, the footage belongs to them, but there's no rule that says it has to be streamed live.
Well, then let's make one. We're making rules for everything else.
Well, I don't know. See, this whole thing, I have said it for weeks.
What he's doing is making those meetings easier on himself and his buddies. Because then you got to wait 2 or 3 days, and by that time, it's almost time for another meeting. And what they're going to hope is that you don't have 4 hours to sit down and watch the thing. Like last night, that meeting went on forever. I didn't go to that meeting last night for a couple reasons. I had been gone for a few days, and I wanted to see my kids. But I knew it was just going to be a long, drawn-out shit show. And that's exactly what it was. As they're going on about that legislation to force the city, or to force the mayor to ask for a forensic audit. And you know what? I almost wanted to, if I'd been there, I probably would have shook Mark Russell's hand last night. And he said, why don't you do it yourself? Why are you forcing the mayor to do it? Why doesn't council do it?
Yeah, but here's the thing of this whole bit. Okay, here's the deal with the live stream. That people are so adamant about it staying, that makes me nervous. Because for years and years and years, there was no such thing. Matter of fact, there was no video, period, until 2.5 years ago.
Right.
And I didn't hear people clamoring.
Well,
oh my God, let's get this done.
Until Mike Bodine's friend sold cameras and audio equipment.
And that's fine. And that's fine. But he's gone now, too. So, the point is why is there such a clamor now for this? Why is there such a need for it? Why do you have 4 hours?
Because people have gotten used to it. And when you take stuff away from us, you should have never given it to us.
Yeah, but I don't understand what makes the difference. How do you have 4 hours to watch it on Monday night, but you don't have 4 hours to watch it on Wednesday?
Because Monday night you might have already carved out. That's what I have done. I've carved out time on Monday night. Monday nights are usually set aside for city council.
Well, now you'll have free time on Monday nights. And you can carve it out on Wednesday.
Because now we have to go to every single meeting if we want to be there when it's, and watch what's happening live.
But what,
because it's
what?
Either that or you take the word of someone else. Like, do we want to just take somebody else's word for it, or do, would we rather watch it live?
Well, somebody who's there, I think it's a good thing to take it from that person.
Is it?
Because there's
people there last night that are still going on about the silent sabotage, and it's like I sent you a message last night. This is exactly why I didn't come, because now people are talking about they're going to start YouTube channels, and they're going to do this.
There you go. But see...
Get the truth out there.
But see, so that's a product... That's a product.
Is that where you want people getting their news from, Spears, or do you want them seeing it with their own eyes?
No, because that is a product of the live. That is absolutely a product of the live. Those live streams and the things that are put out so quick while the meeting's still going on, those are products of that live stream. And I think the mayor does realize that.
It would shut those down until we get somebody sitting back there live streaming the whole meeting and... That's not going to be good if somebody goes in there with their phone and tries to Facebook Live the whole meeting. And, you know, I noticed our friends that got thrown out didn't show up at the next meeting, did they? I'll be here next week.
Exactly. And I think the mayor understands it. Listen, I got to give it to the mayor for bringing it up. He can do what he wants to do. Council can do what they want to do.
Don't be disingenuous about it and tell us that now all of a sudden you thought about it and people are right and they do know that their houses are at home alone and... blah, 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 blah. I mean, how's this, Mayor? I used to get hate mail because I had to give my address every time I got up there. What about that? You know, so he cares now that these meetings are becoming uncomfortable and ugly and, you know, who knows might show up kind of thing. But this is his idea in the beginning.
Yeah, but see, here's what I don't understand. This is what boggles my mind about the live stream is that, you know, uncomfortable meetings and people saying what they want to say and people show... What difference does it make if that happens on a live stream or a non-live stream? You have to be in the room to make people uncomfortable. The meeting is still going to be videotaped and shown 48 hours later, so you're going to see what happened anyway, and nobody's going to be editing the video. And it would force people to come up there if they do want to confront the mayor, so I think that would make it more uncomfortable for him. So I don't understand. It would seem to me that if the mayor was trying to get away from people confronting him or confronting city council, they would go in the opposite direction. Live stream allows people to sit home and watch it and not do anything.
If your goal is transparency, live stream should be the way it goes. I mean, and remember, this is his idea. He sprung this on council. They didn't know it was coming.
But what is not transparent about taping the meeting?
This is his doing. Having it happening live. Because Tarina Rose did a great job. She had the audio up the next morning. Or sometime during the next day. And I would sit and listen to the audio while I did other stuff. That was very convenient. But now we're talking, oh, maybe a day or 2 days later. When you got Ray Grogan up there acting a fool, people need to know about that the next morning. I'm sorry.
Why do they?
Because that's our county prosecutor. And when our county prosecutor is behaving like that in public... and there's no repercussions, then people need to know. When city
but why do they need to know the next morning?
They need to know that night that this is the outrage needs to be instant, because otherwise if they've got people that have short attention spans, and they might not care Wednesday night that there was a hoedown throwdown Monday night at city council because something else happened Tuesday and Wednesday to distract them from it.
Well, I don't, you know, maybe this is why city council ran a little more efficiently in the past.
I agree.
If
and
that's
you know,
the case.
If Danny Clark wants to go see a data center so bad, he doesn't need to organize a damn field trip. Get in your car and go drive, buddy. It's not hard. He's asking, I want to go. I want to organize a trip. Do you think they're going to, like, give you a tour of a data center, Danny, because you want to see one? I mean, he doesn't think there's any security protocols that data centers are just going to walk up to the desk and be like, hey, we're here to look around. I mean, drive down there and look at a data center and see what it looks like. That's about the best you're going to do. That nobody needs to organize that.
Well,
called initiative.
All I will say about this is that I think...
It's a cluster, Scott. They're turning into a cluster.
Well, but they're doing what they're doing, and my point is just simply, if the mayor wants to say he doesn't want to live stream it, just like he said he wanted to live stream it, I don't understand what the difference is.
You don't think there's going to be any backlash?
Oh, there's backlash to everything. That's because everybody's got a channel now. Everybody's got a social media. So they'll all do that. And that's okay, but that is a product of the live stream. That's what the mayor created. How many of these things existed prior to the live stream?
Only one that I know of.
Only one. And how many do we have now? We had an announcement last night of the launching of another live channel, TikTok.
A couple of them have actually gotten up there and, like, promoted themselves, haven't they?
Probably.
Yeah, in more than one meeting. So, you know what?
If somebody wants to come to the meeting and actually cover it, they'll be able to go home and post it that night. If you've got 4 hours to sit there at home and watch it, why can't you come up to the building?
Well, because, you know, it's more, maybe you need to put your kid to bed at 8 o'clock and you can't stay up till midnight listening to city council blab. I wanted to see my kid.
No, I'm just saying, I think if people want to say things about the city and they want to take part in the city and they want to be there, well, why not do it in person?
I 100% agree with that. Get up off your duff and don't make your voice known, but, you know, some participation is better than none. I guess we'll see.
We'll see how it goes. Thanks for calling.
Who cares that?
All right, we're done for the day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
It goes.
Legendary stand-up comedian Marty Allen.
Yeah, like physically, what can't you do now that maybe you could do 20, 30 years?
I beg your pardon.